Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Fiddler on the Roof is a Broadway classic. It was first produced in 1964 and went on to run continuously for almost a decade. The Joel Grey-directed production of this beloved musical, running at Stage 42 off-Broadway, offers something that most American audiences haven't yet seen, the opportunity to hear the entire production in Yiddish. Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish opened on February 21st and runs through September. I talked to the actors who play Goldia and Tevye, Jennifer Babiak and Stephen Skybell earlier this spring. Since our conversation just this week, Stephen won a Lucille Lortel Award for Best Lead Actor in a Musical for his take on Tevye and was nominated for an Outer Critics Circle Award as well. I began by asking them about the process and the challenges of performing the show entirely in Yiddish. Take a listen to our conversation.
I mean, I'm fond of saying that because when we first started it last June downtown at the Museum of Jewish Heritage is where we started, and we were extended through the end of the year down there. It was meant to only be a 6-week summer gig, and it just kept getting extended. So when we were signed on to do it, it was crack your head, learn this 3-hour musical for 6 weeks, for a 6-week run. And it really was a labor of love, and it was equal parts for me, labor and love. It was no joke, the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. And I have in my past played Hamlet and Richard II and really heavy duty roles. And Tevye is right up there in terms of what he goes through, but also the challenge of trying to master the idiom of Yiddish.
Sounds like it must have been a rigorous process.
Yes, it was. And, you know, we had 4 weeks of rehearsal in
the
beginning.
Three,
and then tech and previews then started. So we all were learning the Yiddish and the choreography and the music and the staging and the blocking all at once. So they were really organized there, though.
Very organized.
Our stage management team, the whole design team, that it was like, okay, choreography in this room, music in this room, Yiddish coaching in this room, you know. So thankfully, that really, it was like a seamless
process. Yeah, the Folks Bühne, which was the original producing theater, and is, I think, the oldest theater in America and the oldest surviving Yiddish theater in the world. They know how to get non-Yiddish speakers up and running in very short order. I mean, it was diligent and it was painstaking, but they were there every step of the way, correcting. We were told early on, I was scared about this. They said, oh, your Yiddish-speaking audiences are going to have no qualms about correcting your Yiddish from their seats. And so I was like, well, that will definitely make me forget my lines.
Yes.
And thankfully, that didn't happen. And the greatest joy I had downtown, when I mean, we still do get, I believe, Yiddish speakers uptown, you know, now that we're on the official off-Broadway. But downtown, it was a lot of Yiddish speakers. And I would see people after the show, and they would come up to me spouting in Yiddish, you know, rambling in Yiddish, assuming that I spoke Yiddish, and I was happily deceiving them, but I would have to tell them I don't speak Yiddish.
That's a tremendous compliment.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
So you said you didn't have any experience with Yiddish. You had a little bit?
I had some. That is to say, I grew up hearing it. My grandparents spoke it in our, I grew up in a small Texas town, but my grandparents were from Poland and they lived in our small Texas town. And so it was like a little shtetl. There was 100 Jewish families in Lubbock, Texas. And I would hear Yiddish, but it was spoken in a way to prevent us from knowing what they were saying. So there was no desire to pass on the tradition, but I certainly had it in my ear. And on my mother's side of the family, those relatives also would sprinkle their dialogue with Yiddish. Then later in life, in my 30s, my brother and I, out of the blue, decided we wanted to try and learn Yiddish on our own. And we would call each other on the phone with our little grammar books and try and teach us Yiddish. And I don't know how well that went, but then finally in the summer of 2006, I was in Chicago doing a play and I had time. And so I contacted Northwestern and said, could I audit a Yiddish class? And the lady said, oh, my enrollment wasn't large enough. And she said, but you can come to my home and I'll teach you privately in my home. So I had a summer of one-on-one Yiddish. Again, not that I was fluent in Yiddish, but it gave me the chutzpah, which is a good Yiddish word, to tell the Folks Bühne, please see me for this role, because one, I have worked with Joel Grey before, our director, and two, I speak Yiddish, which was not 100% true, but it got me in the room.
It was truthy.
Truthy.
It was truthy. My guests are Stephen Skibell and Jennifer Babiak. We're talking about Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. You mentioned you worked with Joel Grey before, who's directed it. When did you work with Joel?
We did a play, I think it was, you know, my mind is a little soggy, but I think it was 2015. It was a play called On Borrowed Time at Two River Theater Company in New Jersey, which has a small boy in one of the leading roles, which Joel played as a boy at the Cleveland Playhouse when he was maybe 11 or 10. So it's a play that he always had cherished very much, and so he directed it at this theater, and I was cast in that. And so we worked together then. But nothing like my part was a supporting role in a very large cast. So the working with him on Fiddler has been unbelievable, because as talented as a performer as we all know him to be, he is an amazing director, and an amazing director for actors in English or Yiddish.
You mentioned that you said he unearthed something about the show and the show's meaning and message. What's an example of that?
Well, big example is that, I mean, and people have come to our show and hear the song "Do You Love Me," which is in the second act between Golda and Tevye, where the traditional kind of reception of that number is "Do you love me? Do I what?"
Right.
You know,
right.
And Joel had tracked that early on in the first act, Tevye, when Laser Wolf is asking to marry Tevye's eldest daughter, Tevye's wrestling with it, and he then says, the butcher will care for her. He loves her. And he wanted that word love. That's the first time the word love enters the musical, and then we actually see the word love go throughout the play, and to highlight that, and that, so then finally in the second act, when this husband and wife who have had at least five children who have survived into adulthood, the husband asks the wife, we've been through all this, but let me ask you a question, do you love me? And he won't let go of the question, and rather than have it be a kind of funny moment, it's a deeply moving and powerful moment to see these people well into their middle life say, is there something we may have missed that our children are getting? And are we able to think on those terms now in a way we never have? That is mind-blowing in terms of unearthing that, just how love courses through this musical and the journey for Tevye specifically and for the characters in general, how they deal with love.
And it's a time of rapid change, you know, everything. It's like, can they keep up? And then it's this moment of really reflection and thinking about love and, you know, something that is new to them. And, you know, it's so easy for the kids to think about, but it's like the parents, like, we never thought about it. It's not part of, it hasn't been part of our lives. And it's like, you know, I think of that now with like how things are rapidly change, you know, social media and stuff. It's like, you know, trying to keep up with that. It's like, you know, in such a rapidly changing time to have this moment of just, you know, reflection. And it's such an intimate moment. There's in our production, there's just two benches and it's just the two characters. And it's so simple and lovely. And Joel really, really did bring that out. It's incredible.
We're talking about Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. It's at Stage 42. Now it runs to
September 1st.
This is exciting. Stephen Skibell and Jennifer Babiak are in studio with me. The staging. It's interesting that you mentioned the staging. Can you describe it for our audience? It's simple.
I mean, it's so beautifully, poetically simple. Beowulf Borret, Tony Award-winning set designer, did the sets, and Anhold Ward did the costumes, and so they're beautiful and simple. They seem real. We might look like Jews in Williamsburg to you. There's sort of a timeless quality to the way we are dressed, and yet there's a nod to the icons that people will recognize Tevye's cap or he puts on the boots, but it's so beautiful. And then the set itself is very open, made entirely of brown paper, very open. And for instance, the fiddler, we have this wonderful gal named Lauren Thomas, who is our fiddler, and that's also a little bit of a beautiful skewing that the fiddler should be a woman, yeah. Especially about if it's a story about a man who seems to be surrounded by wives and daughters.
Yeah.
And so the fiddler, which is sort of a extension of his own thinking, is also a woman, possibly, or a young man. We don't necessarily know. But she truly plays the violin, and so the play begins. She walks out on the stage, and there's been set a table and a chair on a table and another chair on that chair. It looks somewhat dangerous. And she, with her violin, just walks up, walks up, walks up, finally to the top of this pile and starts playing her violin. So the image of the fiddler on the roof is abstracted in a way, but you absolutely get the danger of what it is to try and climb that pile. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that to me is just a simple way of how our show looks.
Yeah, and it's very, there's minimal props and set pieces, and you know, the dream is normally this huge, you know, spectacle. And it is like probably our biggest number in the show.
It's a spectacle in ours, but in a kind of different way.
In a different way, yeah. The bed is, you know, just the benches and the chairs, and it's like creates this little bed for Golden Tevye. And I don't want to give anything away, right. But it is like an amazing, it's our version of what a spectacle number could be, but it's still very simple.
But I will also add that our choreographer, Stash Kmiek, has direct lineage to Jerome Robbins, and so knows the choreography. He had done original productions of Fiddler, performed in it, and then sort of has choreographed it. And there is, I think, the choreography always wants to honor Jerome Robbins' choreography. I mean, I think that might be legal, although I don't know that they can't really digress too far from the choreography. But so the choreography absolutely honors the Jerome Robbins, and our dancers, we've got this group of Russian dancers, men and women, they just take that empty stage, what is a minimal stage, and just fill it with incredible dancing, and which really points to as perhaps minimal that the setting is, the dancing really honors the glory of the original production and the original choreography. That is timeless.
Yes, it's exhilarating. We have the iconic bottle dance every night. It's like we're on the edge of our seats because they really
do
have the bottles on their hats, and it's so exciting. And the L'chaim scene is just the original Jerome Robbins choreography, and it is so amazing. The dancing every night, it's just so exciting. I remember watching that scene for the first time and in rehearsals, and all the girls, we were in the audience watching them, and we didn't have the super titles yet, and we're like howling laughing at the scene between Tevye and Laser, and then our Yiddish coach Matel Didner came over and said, do you guys know this scene? You know, you guys were laughing in the right places. And we're like, no, but they're so believable, and so you don't need, a lot of times you don't need the super titles because it's just that they're so wonderful. But anyway, that scene is amazing. The choreography and the dancing, these dancers are incredible.
So Stephen and Jennifer, you're playing iconic characters,
yeah.
And you've mentioned all of these iconic scenes. Mm-hmm. How do you make it your own and make it new when something is so iconic?
Well, I will tell you that doing it in Yiddish helps, because it doesn't even begin to sound like the way Zero Mostel did it, you know? Mm. So that's a blessing. I jokingly say that when I got cast in this, I'd always wanted to play Tevye because I played him when I was 17. I played him when I was 21, but I wanted to play him age appropriate. And I finally got cast as Tevye, and I'm playing him in Yiddish. Like, how great, you know? But it's actually been such an award, a reward, and it's released me in terms of not feeling the pressure of having to stand up to other performances because it's subtly different and I'm enjoying it. But Joel, again, I have to say, Joel absolutely had notions about how there were ways to do the role which had not really been explored before, with a little less showman and a little more truth and reality, which I just eat up. You know, I love that notion. And so the blessing, of course, is that it's Fiddler on the Roof. So mm-hmm. we know it works, and we know it's got a great story with great tunes. And so by turning it in Yiddish, we're able to just probe it a little deeper.
Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish is playing through September at Stage 42 Theater off Broadway. Stephen and Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure meeting you, and congratulations on your great success.
Thank you.
We'll leave you with a little bit from Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.